Well, today on the program, we're talking about something that affects one in six couples, and that is the area of infertility. If you or a loved one has faced infertility in your relationship, then this program will be of extreme interest to you. You are listening to the 100 Huntley Street podcast with Mark Masry and Lara Watson. And today we're so glad you've joined us because we've got some inspiring guests with stories that might surprise you in terms of the outcome, not necessarily what we might expect. Isn't that true, Lara?
Well, that's the truth, Mark. And you know, this is such a hard topic. I'm so thankful we're diving into it. Years ago, I had a family member struggling with infertility. And I look back and I wish I had been more empathetic and I didn't understand what she was going through. And what they were going through as a couple. And I hadn't had kids yet, so I didn't understand these implications. And these conversations I have today with Jenny Albers and Rachel Van Pelt, they're so honest and open, encouraging, and they really show the picture of what is this like to go through infertility or experience stillbirth. How do we come out on the other side of this? How can we be honest and authentic in the process of it, that this is horrible and why me? And you know, where is God in this? So I'm so thankful for the two ladies that are going to be joining me later in the program because they really dive into some topics and some truth connected to infertility and pregnancy loss that we need to hear as women and as couples.
Mm-hmm.
We need this encouragement.
And their experiences are very unique, which is true for every one of you listening right now that perhaps has faced this. Very unique because the outcome in both of these ladies' lives is quite different. You're going to hear in their stories. And without further ado, I think we should get into Jenny Albers' interview with Lara out of her book, Courageously Expecting. Here's that interview.
Miscarriage and stillbirth touch the lives of many women, often leaving lingering negative effects emotionally, socially, and spiritually. Here to speak hope into the reality of pregnancy loss is Jenny Albers, author of Courageously Expecting 30 Days of Encouragement for Pregnancy After Loss. Welcome to 100 Huntley Street, Jenny.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
It's our pleasure. You know, Jenny, you wrote Courageously Expecting from a deeply personal place, a very difficult journey you were on. Will you share your story with us?
Yes, absolutely. So my first experience with pregnancy was very textbook. My daughter was born after a very normal pregnancy, and I kind of just thought that that was how motherhood was going to go for me. I had a plan. I wanted three children. I wanted them 3 years apart. And that didn't happen. So when my daughter was about 2.5, we became pregnant for the second time. And we experienced an early loss with that pregnancy. It ended up being an ectopic pregnancy, which was very difficult. And we grieved for that child. And we grieved for, you know, what we thought our family was going to look like. And about a year later, I became pregnant again. And so that would have been my third pregnancy, you know, and kind of I had really conflicting feelings with that pregnancy and really, you know, kind of a mother's intuition that I just had some underlying concerns that I couldn't really voice. And I wasn't sure what that meant. And so, you know, fast forward a couple months, my water ended up breaking just prior to 18 weeks. At that pregnancy, and you know, which was obviously very early and far too early to be in labor or showing signs of labor. I continued with the pregnancy for about 3 more weeks, and my baby was born still just past the 20-week mark of that pregnancy. And so to have two losses in a row and to have one of those in the second trimester and well into the pregnancy just felt really defeating and heartbreaking. And I felt very isolated. I didn't know anyone who had experienced pregnancy loss. You know, and now I kind of realize that there are so many of us and so many of us who are probably around me at that time. And I just didn't realize it because we don't talk about it a lot. So anyways, I felt very alone, and it was a really difficult decision to try and figure out kind of how to move forward or what our next steps were going to be. Were we going to try to get pregnant again? Were we going to have my daughter and not try again and just kind of be happy with what our family looked like? It was a difficult decision. So I did become pregnant again about a year after my second loss, which did result in the birth of my son. But it was a very difficult pregnancy, you know, and the pregnancy after loss experience is just so emotional and so complicated, because there is joy, of course, over a new pregnancy, but there's also grief and trauma that we bring into that new pregnancy that really is, it feels very heavy. And we know the reality that loss can happen at any time. And so it is hard to really keep hope alive when you aren't sure if your baby is going to live.
Jenny, such a difficult experience and journey that you were on and that you've had. And, you know, you talked about the tension that you felt between grief as well as joy. And in your book, you wrote about, you know, that dance between grief and joy. How would someone who is coming out of pregnancy loss, maybe now then pregnant with a child, go through that journey of grief and joy, and actually in a way that could bring hope? How was that for you? How could that be for someone else?
Yeah, well, I think it's okay and a good thing to give ourselves permission to grieve. I think when we do become pregnant again, there is an internal pressure as well as an external pressure to just kind of brush the past aside and be grateful for, you know, what we have today and what we have right now, which is a new pregnancy. But we still are allowed to grieve the losses that we've experienced. And, you know, we've lost a baby, but we've also lost really a lifetime of parenting that child and of being a mother to that child. And so that doesn't go away just because you become pregnant again. So that's the first thing, is permission to grieve and giving ourselves that. Something that I wasn't great at, and that I do talk about in the book, because I have some regrets over it, was really seeking and finding and holding on to that joy of a new pregnancy. So I think some of the ways to do that are, one, to talk about it, and to, you know, talk about the pregnancy as if it is real. It is. But for those of us who have lost a baby, it's really easy for us to kind of disconnect from a new pregnancy because we are fearful and we are anxious about losing that baby. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of a self-protection method, I think. So I think finding joy is to be able to talk about the baby, to make plans. Maybe those are really small. Maybe it's just buying one little outfit. Maybe it's talking about baby names, but to let yourself hope and to talk about those things in such a way that will allow hope to grow. And I think it's also important to remember that this is a different pregnancy, and we don't know the outcome, but God certainly has the ability to kind of redeem the story of our motherhood. And that, you know, having a baby is a very normal thing, and we've experienced something that should never happen. But that doesn't take away the reality that we have an opportunity, I guess, or that we might be able to have a healthy baby and a living baby. And so I think it's just important to take it day by day and to celebrate the little milestones. Whether that's getting past the date that you had your loss, whether that's having a pregnancy announcement or making a pregnancy announcement, celebrating the little day-to-day joys that maybe it's difficult to do after you've lost a baby because you're afraid.
Mm. You know, Jenny, you've been so brave in sharing your story, and you're sharing with us today. You've encapsulated your story in this amazing book you've written, which is also a resource to women who are going through this journey, offering scriptural encouragements, devotionals, and an opportunity even to write to your unborn child. And it's so rooted biblically, and I love that. I want to ask you how your faith in God has helped you through this journey, and even thinking about those who are watching right now that maybe need that encouragement. And what difference has your faith in Jesus made for you on this path you've had to experience?
Yeah, I think it was helpful for me to remember that, God really goes before us and God knows the end of the story. After you lose a baby, it really feels, and it is the end of many things. But I think it's easy to get caught in that mindset of this is the end of everything. And it definitely feels that way for a while. But I think it's important to remember that this is not the end of our stories ultimately. And that, just realizing that gave me a lot of hope as I walked through loss and pregnancy after loss. And I think also having the realization that I had already walked through the worst, 2 times, and it was awful. And I mean, I hated it. I did not want that. I wouldn't want that for anyone. But kind of just remembering how God had been walking with me that entire time and how he was carrying me through the most difficult times of my life, helped me to remember that no matter what happens, God is here and God is walking with me through this. Mm. And I think it's also, something that I've learned is that even, in the worst times of our lives, and even when we feel defeated in these really awful times of grieving, God knows us better than we know ourselves, and he knows our needs. Even when it feels like maybe the world doesn't understand what our needs are, or our friends or our loved ones. And so that was helpful for me too. And just to really, I gave myself time to be quiet and get quiet with God and just listen to like worship music or journal. And that helped me stay connected to God as well. And obviously, lots of prayer. I don't think I've ever prayed harder than I did when I was pregnant after loss.
Jenny, it's so inspiring to hear how you've weathered this and how your faith has helped. And, I just want to ask if you have some tips for those watching right now who maybe have someone in their life who's experienced pregnancy loss. How can we better support those around us who have experienced miscarriage or stillbirth? What are the things we should do and not do in our attempt to be connected and make sure that they're doing okay?
Yeah, well, I think my number one tip is to be careful what you say to the grieving mother. I think it's really easy for us to say things like, God needed another angel, or, God has a plan, or it just wasn't meant to be. Things like that really make those of us who have lost a baby feel unseen in our grief. And it also makes us feel like, our babies didn't matter, or that this is just kind of a blip, on the radar of our lives, and we'll just move on quickly. I think the right thing to say is, if you can't think of something that is helpful, is to simply say, I'm so sorry that you're going through this, and I hate this for you. And then to offer some tangible ways that you can serve. So that might just be a meal. That might be if they have living children, to offer to care for their living children in order to give the mom and dad some space to grieve and to really process and to be able to have that quiet time. I think most importantly, acknowledge that this was a loss, whether it's miscarriage, stillbirth, pregnancy loss in general. Acknowledge that it was and is a loss, and that those parents are missing a child and a piece of their lives. Mm. And then I think it's great to ask questions and to be interested, like genuinely interested in how they're doing. And that might be just reaching out through text message or email and just to say, hey, I'm thinking about you. Mm-hmm. And then if you happen to know the due date of the baby, or even at the 1 year anniversary of the family's loss, to reach out and recognize that anniversary date or that due date, and say, hey, I'm thinking about you. I know today must be really hard.
Jenny, these are such good ideas and so helpful for all of us as we seek to support those around us who've experienced pregnancy loss. Jenny, your book, Courageously Expecting, is an incredible resource for people. And, your sharing today, your personal story and some of these tips for those on the journey of pregnancy loss, as well as those wanting to support them, has been so important and helpful to so many. Thank you for being with us today, Jenny.
Thank you so much.
What an amazing conversation you had with Jenny, Lara, and just hearing her chronicle her experience and understanding how fear gripped her heart in subsequent pregnancies after her first healthy child was born and then suffering the losses thereafter, how much she was unable to really live in the moment, enjoy the pregnancy that did bring her another child. And we know those other two babies are with Jesus, and I'm sure she would acknowledge that. But it just speaks to the fact that fear can really be a serious factor. Like, it just grips the heart of women when they face this kind of loss. And I know for me as a man, you know, oftentimes this whole subject of infertility often gets this, you know, I don't want to call it the blame, but it's kind of like the responsibility is on the woman oftentimes, because she's dealing with issues, whatever it may be, physiological issues that are preventing pregnancy. And we know, thankfully, that's changing because we're realizing that men have as much a part to play in that, you know, that particular issue. But I was just amazed at the whole fear conversation.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The fear is, I think, you know, it's heartbreaking as you listen to, you know, the idea that she couldn't celebrate. She couldn't bring herself to do those things you want to do as a mom. You're nesting and you're actually wired to nest. You're buying clothing and creating the nice little nursery and things like that. So, you know, but what's interesting, you know, and Mark, you make a great point too, that historically women have been blamed for infertility. And then mm-hmm. So they're carrying that burden too. Is it something wrong with me? And why is this happening? I think women of faith too, they also wonder, you know, is there something wrong? Why, you know, is God withholding this from me? And I know that, you know, we know that there's not truth in that. You know, you think about Job in the Bible,
right?
Where everyone around him, his good friends who actually loved him, were saying there has to be something in your life. There must be sin in your life. There must be a reason this disaster is happening. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the end, God is so clear with Job and his friends. No, Job is actually a blameless man.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he restores so much to him in so many different ways. But, you know, it's really important not to internalize the shame, not to internalize even the fear, right? All these different feelings. It's right. Hard. Sometimes we need counseling. We might need prayer support. Right now, if you're feeling a bit triggered in this moment, we want to offer you prayer support. We have people standing by right now to pray with you. They're here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They are our prayer partners. I was a prayer partner at one point. I even called into the prayer lines prior mm-hmm. to being a prayer partner. So call these lovely people who just want to encourage you and pour love and hope into your heart and your soul. The number is 1-866-273-4444. Again, that's 1-866-273-4444.
Yeah. And I love when she said that God can redeem your motherhood, yes. Regardless of where you find yourself, what your experience is, as unique as it may be, as we mentioned off the top. And the reality is, for some women, which brings us to our next guest, that sometimes mm-hmm. biological children aren't in the plan for your life.
Yes.
And Rachel Van Pelt has that story. You talk to her about her experience and how she has weathered that storm and how God has brought clarity and purpose to her life without actually having children of her own. Let's go to that interview now.
How do we hold on to hope no matter what we're facing? Joining me now is Rachel Van Pelt, founder of Hope Through Hard Times and author of Sustaining Hope. Welcome to 100 Huntley Street, Rachel.
Thanks, Lara. It's a joy to be here.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Now, Rachel, your new book is authentic and raw. It's also full of hope. But let's go to the beginning of your story. So you gave your heart to Jesus when you were 4 years old. And by the time you were a teenager, you really needed this spiritual connection. And also, Rachel, it was around this time that you found out you had celiac disease.
Yes, that's correct.
And in your early...
Yeah, it took about 10 years to find that out.
And that's a whole journey as well that can impact us in so many different ways. Very significant, even with our mental health and wellness. And, you know, it's important that faith you had at that stage. But in your early 20s, you went to Bible college. And then after college, you met your husband. And as you guys got married, you decided to try and have a family. What happened from there?
Yeah, it was a year into our marriage that it was interesting. We were going to wait a couple years. We had a quick relationship through engagement. We only dated about 5.5 months before we got married. So we thought we would take some time just to enjoy the marriage, but it really convicted our hearts within a year that we were putting our own timeline on instead of the Lord. So we decided to hand it over to Him and start trying. It took a year with no results, and then we were referred to an infertility clinic and went through all the stages of testing, but it got delayed when I found out that I might be a bone marrow donor. We were faced with a question, do we save a life or do we make one? Because you can't get pregnant during a bone marrow harvest up till 6 months after the recipient has received it, just in case they need a second dose. So we decided, we prayed for the weekend, we took time off and decided that we would choose to save a life because we could always go back to making one. But I just couldn't live with the regret of passing up this opportunity to give somebody else hope for their own life.
Rachel, that's a selfless sacrifice. That is very brave. And your journey of difficulty and being brave was only just beginning as well in that time. You had quite an incident right after the bone marrow transplant, right after the procedure. Would you tell us a bit about that?
Sure. Yeah. It was such an exciting time. The Lord made leading up to the bone marrow donation so clear that He was involved and in it. And the next morning after the surgery, I felt extremely woozy. I was supposed to eat a full meal after surgery, but I wasn't feeling up to it. It was later on in the evening. And my husband came into the bathroom and asked if I was okay. And I said, I feel kind of faint. And I sat on the toilet to try and put my head between my knees. And the next thing I know, I wake up on the floor with my husband over me, screaming my name and rubbing my back to wake me up. It took about 3 weeks to find out that I had a concussion because they thought maybe something went wrong with the surgery or I was too dehydrated. So a bunch of testing and 4 doctors later, I found out it was a concussion, which unfortunately the damage had been done and moved me into post-concussion syndrome at that point.
So here you are struggling with infertility. You've got post-concussion syndrome. You've got financial issues related to both because that's what those problems would cause. And any one of those things can break down a marriage. So, you know, we know that infertility, health issues, financial issues. How did your marriage survive this?
Honestly, by the grace of God. And I call my husband the steady Eddie, but it was learning to surrender. I went through a really challenging season because for 3 months I had garbage bags over every window of our house. I couldn't handle much noise or conversation. If I had a friend over, it would be maximum a half hour and I'd be done for the day. And there were times I had been caregivers to our grandparents before and to other people. And I would say to my husband, like, you just need to go. You need to go have fun, go play basketball, do whatever you need to do, just get out of the house. But in those times, I had day upon day, hour upon hour with the Lord because I couldn't do anything else. So I'd listen to the audio Bible. I would spend time in worship, just even if my head hurt so much, I would just sing it out as loud as I could because I realized, much like the days of my depression, it was a physical battle as much as it was a spiritual battle. And so the enemy would just try and hit me with all these different things. I'd have nightmares, which are common with concussions, and just questioning a lot of stuff. But the Lord kept bringing me back to, Rachel, remember before the concussion, remember the surgery, remember all the things that I did to show you I was there in it. And when I got to that point, I learned to surrender each day and to say, Lord, I don't know what my future looks like. I don't know if I'm ever going to get better, but I need to give it to you and I need to trust you. Mm. And He brought me to Mark 2 that talks about the paralytic man that was lowered by his friends through the roof to a house where Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And then to prove to the Pharisees that He had authority, He said, you know, you've been healed, pick up your mat and walk. And I realized, Lord, you are in this, it is your authority, and that you're going to heal my soul as much as you're going to heal my body. And so we went on this journey together, day by day, of working through past hurts and past sins because I had time to just sit and do it. And through that, my husband and I grew deeper. We set goals with our finances, which gave us something to be united together on and work towards, even when nothing else had direction, which was huge because it just like gave us something to get excited about and focused on. And so that helped as well. So just really learning to pray together, learning to call on the Lord and be honest and real with him and let him take over. And then finding ways to set goals and be united and work towards those just really help focus and perspective in life.
Rachel, you're a very inspiring woman, and to hear your journey and hear how you went through it. And I know, you know, you've shared in your book that you did question God, you know, why me? But you've chosen to have hope and cling to that faith of, you know, that you know is real. One of the things that, you know, I wonder about is your experience of finding out that you were infertile and processing that. And something you've also shared in other interviews is that you felt God prepared you for that. How did he do that?
It was incredible. We were visiting my parents and went to a different church that Sunday. And the pastor shared all about worshiping over worrying. He shared about Chronicles 20 that talks about King Jehoshaphat, and there was three nations coming against him. And he cried out to God and he fasted and prayed with the nation of Judah. And the Lord completely annihilated the nations that were standing against him. And they worshiped in that leading up to the war and then after it. And my husband and I just felt God's peace upon us when we heard that. And there were dreams that we were having where we were in a storm or some chaotic things were going on, but yet there was peace. And so as we walked into the hospital to get the test done, we just said, God, we don't know what the results are, but we know that you are in this. You've proven this to us. And so when the doctor came in and said, I'm sorry, but there's nothing we can do. You guys are infertile. We wept. And then because we were left alone, we were able to put on the song It Is Well by Christine DeMarco and just cry out to God in praise that as much as we were sorrow and grief and everything else, we trusted that he was in it and he was going to make a way.
Rachel, thank you for sharing that. That's a very personal journey, but I know it touches and encourages so many. You and your husband, you know, so often people will expand their families if they're infertile through adoption. They will expand their families in different ways. But you and your husband are choosing not to do that at this stage. And I just wanted to ask if you could share about, you know, your reasoning and your viewpoint of that.
A lot of prayer. Honestly, every time we would pray about it, we would have conflicting ideas. I would want embryo adoption. He would think about private adoption or different options that way. But every time, neither one of us aligned. And we knew that that was God saying, no, we're not yet. As hard as that was, we wanted to follow his way. We even had a child, a contact come to us to say, we have a child that would be in need of a good home, a good Christian home. And we prayed about it. And we felt we wanted to help the family more than we wanted the child. And so walking so closely with the Lord and trusting in him to show you the way sometimes means total surrender. And through that, the Lord has birthed this ministry, I hope through our times that I run. And this is where my time and attention goes to is spiritual children, wanting to raise up disciples for Jesus. And we're at peace with that. God has given us peace. And so we're choosing that it's okay to not have children with open hands, that if he decided to bring a child into our life, we would graciously accept that.
Oh, Rachel. Wow. Now, Rachel, you know, for your book, Sustaining Hope, what is your greatest hope for those who read it?
Honestly, I've learned that it is eternal hope, that it sounds cheesy in a sense, but we can put our hope in our marriage and children and all these things, but they come to an end. They're part of this world. And so they won't ever fully satisfy. But when we put it in eternal hope in the person of Jesus Christ and in the kingdom that he offers us for eternity, it transforms your day. It's like Jesus suffered and yet with a joy that was set before him, endured the cross and despised the shame. And so because of the hope of what was coming, he was able to have joy in his suffering, and incredible suffering that we can't even comprehend. And so that's where I choose every day to go to Jesus and to be reminded that it is in him that I can hope, not in this world. And that's what keeps it so abundant and so vibrant, to be able to hold on to that.
Rachel, so much encouragement in what you have just said and in your book, Sustaining Hope. I am so thankful for your life, for how you have shared with us today, and for all you're doing to encourage others. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much, Laura.
Laura, an equally inspiring conversation, not necessarily the outcome that so many husbands and wives pray for, but Rachel has found a way to live out purpose with the plan that God has had for her life from her conception, from, you know, God knitting her together in her mother's womb, and her ability to see opportunities to mother those around her that aren't necessarily her biological children. Like, what insight? Oh, what revelation?
Revelation is right. You know, it is a spiritual, it's a spiritual motherhood. That's what's going on here. And so just, you know, it always astounds me, Mark, you think about when we're connected to God, he shows us things we couldn't have imagined. They're just ways that we couldn't have imagined, and truth and principles and insights. And you think about how in the natural realm, we're saying, well, you know, I'm not physically having children and I'm not adopting children, so I'm not necessarily a mother, am I? But the reality is we are spiritual mothers. It's very biblical. It's very true as we sow into other people. And that's what Rachel's doing. She's living this out. I love that she says, you know, she's doing this with open hands, so that if God chooses to expand her family with children, like physical children, then he does that. But otherwise, this ministry that's, you know, come out of this experience that she and her husband have together, this is what has been birthed. And, you know, it's just an incredible inspiration to hear from her, hear her ideas. I'm just thankful that she was so honest even about asking why me. So she's so full of hope. And, you know, her takeaway is like, she wants people to have that hope in Jesus, the hope that anchors your soul, that says, you know, there's a plan for my life from conception. God has plans for me. It might not look like I expect it to, but the winding path can lead to beauty and fruitfulness in ways we couldn't have imagined. So she's a great inspiration in this way. And I think it's a different kind of voice of saying, you know, I'm okay with this. I really get impressed by the fact that, you know, she's such a woman of Proverbs 3:5. That's a Bible verse. And that Bible verse says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. When you're living that out day to day, like Rachel is, you have an open hand. You don't know where God is taking you, but you're saying, I'm just going to trust you. I'm just going to trust you. We want to encourage you right now, whether you're on a journey of infertility, you've experienced pregnancy loss, other kinds of loss, whatever you're going through right now, that as you lean into God and not into your own understanding, but you trust him, he can make your path straight. And it might not look like what you think it would, but with God, the surprise endings are so beautiful.
Absolutely.
Think about Jesus.
Yeah,
no one expected him to come back from the dead.
No, you're right. Yeah. And well, there's a good reason why Rachel calls her book Sustaining Hope. She is living that out and being hope in the lives of countless others. And, you know, where the whole conversation of infertility is concerned, or whatever it is you're facing, you know, it doesn't mean that you should not pray and not believe and not continue to trust God for whatever it is that may be at the root of your desire for children. It's a beautiful thing. Yeah. God gave us this beautiful gift of being able to have children as families. And so it's not something that you should feel that you're not worthy of or that you don't deserve, because you do. It just may not look the way you intend it to look. And so continue to pray, continue to believe, but don't be disheartened. Try not to be disappointed with God if maybe the answer is not yet, or maybe wait a little longer, or maybe I've got a different plan for you that's unique and special that only you can do. I just want to feel like I need to encourage you in that today, because we all have a divine purpose for our lives that often, like you say, Lara, doesn't look the way we think it looks. And we have to hold it very open-handedly, if you will, and just say, God, whatever, just lead me. I'll follow. And it'll take me a while maybe to get there to understand what it is, but I follow you and I trust you. And it's all about trust. That's what he longs from us more than anything else is trust. So again, those prayer lines are available to you if you want someone to encourage you, to help walk alongside you in prayer and help you in this area of trust or whatever it is you're asking God for. You can call that number 1-866-273-4444. You can send us an email at prayer@crossroads.ca. We would love to respond to you. Well, hey, you've been listening to the Huntley Street Podcast with Mark Masri and Lara Watson. And we've so enjoyed having you with us today. And always a pleasure to come into your car, your AirPods, your headphones, wherever you listen, and just encourage you. It's Mark Masri and
Lara Watson
signing off. We'll see you soon.
God bless, guys.
Thank you for your ongoing support of Crossroads, a supporter-funded nonprofit organization and member of the Canadian Center of Christian Charities. Thanks to faithful people like you, we are able to continue producing 100 Huntley Street. You can write to Crossroads, P.O. Box 5100, Burlington, Ontario, L7R4M2, or visit crossroads.ca to learn more about our programs.